Sometimes it feels like the news is full of things that have never happened before. And that is not exactly true. In fact, it may have happened this very week, hundreds or thousands of years ago. I'm Sally Helm, host of the podcast History This Week from the History Channel. Trade embargoes? Thomas Jefferson tried them. Rent too high? We've been arguing about that for a while. Each episode is proof. The past isn't that far away. Listen to History This Week, available now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I am really surprised today. It has nothing to do with these scores here at the Tour Championship at Eastlake. I am surprised that they didn't roll you up in here in a wheelchair after last night's festivities down there at Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
Well, let's just say we love Mercedes-Benz, and obviously they do an amazing job. That was my first time sitting on the floor, the stadium floor, for a concert.
Yeah.
My wife's like, are you guys okay to drive? I go, yeah. Couldn't get a buzz because the line is 150 people to get a beer. And they get the pre-made cocktails. I prefer a liquor bar. But, no, I mean, had a couple of Guinness over at the Irish exit. But you really couldn't sustain any kind of level of, you know, if you were. But we had a great time. Show was great. We'll talk more about it in Guy Talk. By the way, speaking of beers, got a picture. Randy Mack will not drink the Ultra Puro Oro.
Why not? What's wrong with
it? He feels holding a gold can and having photographic evidence will somehow make him look bougie.
I suggest we go take a picture of him with this gold can in his
hand. Randy will not drink with a gold can in his hand. And Randy's second least favorite thing about other than being accused of being bougie is taking a photo. So I had a guy come up to me and goes, hey, can I get a picture with you? I go, ask Randy. He loves taking pictures.
Did he? Did he take it?
Yes, he did.
I love it.
We've got evidence of Randy taking the photo.
It. That's awesome. Hey, man, that's, by the way, I had one of these
yesterday.
These are
great.
Yeah, they're really
tasty
good.
Tasty beer. This is the
it's a good beer, man. What are you talking about?
And it says organic light lager. We'll have to talk to our buddies up in Cartersville where Budweiser makes all the products. What makes this organic light lager? But I dig it.
I do, too. I thought it was good beer. We'll have to get Randy one before we get out of here. Mm-hmm. Hey, man, we're here until 5. Want to remind you that the pregame starts at 5 o'clock with Mike Johnson and Bo Morgan today.
That's right. I'm ready to go, man. Fired up, man. Bo Morgan's ready to rock.
So
I'm ready to get it on, like Donkey Kong.
Make sure you tune in for that because, again, going into this final preseason game, I'm sure they're going to have a lot to say. So that's at 5 o'clock today on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
A couple of guys hit us up on the text line. Trevor hits us up, and he goes, hey, man. He goes, I thought you were riding Penix kind of hard. He goes, I appreciate you and Carl putting a fine point on it. Yes, we did earlier talking to Bryant McFadden. We're not saying the guy can't play the position. We're not saying the guy is weak or soft. All we're saying is we want to hear a little more old school as far as the approach to when I get on the field. And that's it. And maybe that doesn't mean anything to folks who have grown up being cowed to listen specifically to doctor's orders or do whatever someone tells you to do. It's just something that was a little counterintuitive when we're talking about battling for the most important position on the field. That's it. It doesn't define him, Carl. He can miss week one and then grab the bull by the horns against Carolina, let's just say for argument's sake, and we're off and running. And then hopefully he stays healthy and they solidify the QB position.
That's the best case scenario.
That is the best case scenario.
That's the best case scenario. You're right.
It's just, I mean, sometimes I think we come from, I'm not saying that we're dinosaurs or something, but there's a toughness and an attitude we're looking for. We just weren't hearing it.
No. And that's why I was disappointed. Again, doesn't mean I'm disappointed in him as a human being. Kid's a great kid. But I'm disappointed in that desire to, they got to put me in a damn cage to not have me on the field.
Right.
That's what I want. And where he is in his career, I think that's where he is mentally because he knows he's up against it.
Right.
But he's not displaying that.
And look, you think we're being harsh? You know, social media, you know, radio shows around the country, they look at the Falcons as washed, as Penix is already washed.
They do.
Not even, we're at least giving them a chance to get in the starting gate.
Yeah.
You think we're being mean? Because they look at it outside of 285 as saying an injury-prone guy is still dealing with an injury. And that might be a problem, and that's why it's a concern about when does he get on the field and finally establishes himself. That's all we've ever talked about. You know, Tua, and by the way, nothing against Tua. If Tua can do the job, I said to you back in July, maybe Tua does really well, and if the team is in a rhythm and winning, then maybe Mike has a hard time getting on the field. But Tua hasn't done enough, I don't think, in the preseason to at least get that kind of momentum.
Then why start him? That's my question.
Well, they got to go with a guy with experience.
Okay.
Just like they've got to go with a guy with experience. It was Deshaun Watson, I guess, in Cleveland, or the boss said you had to.
But if all of that is true, and many of you believe it is, then why start him? Like, you, if you feel that way, then why would you do that to your team in week one? Give them an opportunity to feel confident about the guy that's under center. And that's the problem that I've had with the argument with Jack Frost or Cooper Rush or anybody else. Well, there's only three guys that are right there. But more on this coming up. We got to talk about what went on in the NFL last night and what's to come tonight as this weekend, the last weekend of preseason. It's Dukes and Bell. Let's get to 4th and 1. Now, we thought all along that the Raiders and Clint Kubiak were going to go with Kirk Cousins. It's why they signed him.
Right.
Last night, after the 49ers beat the Raiders and Fernando Mendoza throws not one, but two picks, Clint Kubiak was quiet on who QB1 is going to be.
Uh-oh.
Wait a minute.
I thought they said Kirk Cousins was going to play an entire season. They're going to let Mendoza learn. Sponge it up.
That's what I thought. He's not saying that. This was one of Mendoza's picks.
He was battered, and he led him to a national championship anyway. Over the middle, through the hands of Naylor, and intercepted. Tatum to third, off of the pinball. And he's finally brought down by his...
Somebody.
Yeah, he had two picks in the game. He just didn't look as good as he did in, I think, preseason game number two, maybe.
Right.
But bottom line is, I don't know if Clint Kubiak's playing games, but why? This is why you sign the veteran. We don't have that issue here. It's a different dynamic. I think you brought this up. When we had Kirk Cousins, it was, well, let the rookie learn. Very similar. Our situation is different now when you look at Michael Penix. I just feel like he's playing games with that.
Yeah, I think that Kirk Cousins here was not happy about Penix. Again, it could have been Penix, could have been anyone.
Sure.
If they had drafted Bo Nix, if they had drafted J.J. McCarthy, Kirk Cousins would not have been happy because he was under the impression, he was explained to, you're going to be the starting quarterback for 2, maybe 3 years. Here in Vegas, now it's a different part of his career. Now you do what you're told. And if you're getting paid either way, it's not a king's ransom.
Yeah.
You know, we're paying more of his money than they are. And so, yeah, I'm curious, do you see that fans are going to want to see the young guy, as if you are the young coach in Clint Kubiak? And do you really feel that maybe this Mendoza kid, through some really high-pressure games and big, big moments in college, can handle getting his butt kicked for a couple of months in the NFL?
It's a good question.
And he learns on the job. Look, this is one of those great debates. Because some guys have sat and been mentored, and some guys just jump right in. And, like, Tom Brady just jumped right into a playoff race.
Yeah,
and he was responded. Peyton Manning could not have looked any worse than his rookie season in Indy, but it set him up for ultimate success in his career.
No doubt. Let's hear Kevin Stefanski, because he's trying to find a sweet spot on getting the starters playing time in the preseason. What is that sweet spot for our head coach?
I do think there's something to be said for, we use the word callous, but getting your bodies ready for a season and not overdoing it either. Not that I've been doing this forever, but back when it was 4 preseason games, it was always 10 plays in the first game, first quarter in the second game, into the second quarter, maybe get a 2-minute drive, and then come out of the halftime in the third game. So you'd play the first half, and you'd come out of the halftime and put a drive together in the third game, and then you wouldn't play in the fourth game. So that's how everybody always did it, and it's changed, and I know the number of preseason games has changed as well. I don't know that there's one right way or wrong way, but I do trust in having all this data available to us and make sure that we put our guys in position to be set up for success week 1 through week 17 and so on if you earn the plus part of that. So just tried to be very intentional about how you put the training camp together, the preseason plan together, all in an effort to get ready for what is, as we all know, a long season.
Right, and we get bits and pieces, so sometimes we don't see the whole puzzle coming together, right?
Right, right.
And it may pertain to Michael Penix Jr. and how they've approached it. We've always, because they never said to us, you know, back in the mini camp, hey, Penix will not be ready to start the season, but we're going to have him ready for, they just, for whatever reason, they felt that would maybe create some controversy or whatever, so they didn't say that, but maybe that's been their plan all along. And Tua, maybe, now here's where it gets interesting, though, has Tua done enough to earn that right to start, or does Tua really have to go out and show out in this game? Because of, now again, we're not talking about Jack Strand, but just the idea that has Tua not picked it up enough
wise,
as they expect?
It's a great point, Mike. I think, you know, again, if he goes in, let's just say he's got 2 series and we go 2 scoring drives, maybe a touchdown, field goal, whatever it might be. He looks the part, throws the ball well tonight. I don't think there's any debating that he probably is the starter in Pittsburgh. just because of the circumstances. Again, if, and I said this yesterday, guys, if Michael Penix ain't ready after 3 days of 11-on-11, you tell him he'll be ready after seven? Like, I don't know what
now
the
he's magically fixed. He's ready.
I don't know what the timetable is on how many days of 11-on-11 do you need versus how much he's gotten in camp. Tua's gotten 3.5-4 weeks of this.
Right. So, and Tua, like, guys, Tua is an inexpensive backup, an inexpensive insurance plan. Maybe there was a thought at Falcons headquarters that Penix will be ahead of schedule, you know, will be ready to go or not. And Tua, again, we have nothing tied to Tua. It's like, oh, my God, if they bench Tua, does any – it's like a tree falls in the forest. It doesn't mean anything.
No, it won't matter.
It's always been the idea. And because he does have the experience, they would not have anybody else on the roster available if Penix can't go. Cooper Rush has been there, done that. Jack Strand's not going to start against the Steelers. It's going to be Tua. It was always going to be Tua.
Think about this, though. Cooper Rush was out there, guys. I mean, like, if you wanted to go get him earlier, you could have in the offseason, right?
Right.
I mean, like, that's part
of it. Well, for some
reason,
Trevor Siemian didn't pick up, I guess, what they were putting down.
Well, he was injured.
Right.
That's
He got hurt.
Yes.
That's incorrect. He got hurt.
He got injured, and then they released him, and then they brought in Cooper Rush. Let me hear Bijan Robinson talk about Michael Penix and how he thinks he's looking in 11-on-11.
Look good. I mean, it was definitely a ramp up for him. So, I mean, it's you just take it one day at a time. And I think he, you know, felt comfortable. I think he looked fast. Like, he told me this morning that he would get me in a race. And I'm like, Mike, chill out, bro. But – it's just cool to see his confidence up and him going out there to go have fun, man.
That's good to hear from Bijan Robinson. He says he looks good, and, you know, he's just waiting for Michael Penix to get the word on when he's a full go, or at least, you know, when he's going to feel good enough, confident enough, I think, to be out there. It's Dukes and Bell. I'll say this, though, Mike, in regards to this whole situation with our offense. If Penix and when Penix plays – and let's just say Tua has a bad first game, if, in fact, he's going to start. You're then looking for Michael Penix to come in and save you. Are you not? You're looking for him to come in and be a savior. And I don't know if he's that. I don't know if that's fair. And I'm only saying this because many of you are going to say, see, Dukes, Tua wasn't any good. Here comes Michael Penix, and you're looking for him to be the savior of whatever you think this is. And, Mike, I don't know if that's a good position to be in.
Or, you know what, the bar is so low by Tua that he can come in and be the hero. I don't know. I mean, like he says, I'm not getting into week one. Stefanski says, you know, we're keeping it day to day. Good, important week for Mike the first time with people around him. Good first step for him. But that definitely doesn't sound like he's going to be week one.
It doesn't. It doesn't sound that way.
So, again, but it like, and it's frustrating because as fans, you want to see this. You know, there's
not
a result. There's not a fan out there who goes, I'm really excited about seeing quarterback A and then quarterback B comes in. Or it's quarterback B and then eventually A starts. No, you want to have your seat. That's human nature as a fan.
Yes.
I think that's what we've been talking about. But some guys, they're so locked in for Michael Penix. And the guy, and he knows you guys love him. And he appreciates, you know, you guys having his back. But, I mean, this is an important season. If Michael Penix cannot establish himself this year, he's done. He's never going to be your quarterback, and he's never going to be a starting quarterback in the NFL. That's not hating. That's facts. That's the same thing. Same world J.J. McCarthy's living in. He might not get back on the field in Minnesota if Kyler Murray gets traction up there.
I don't think he does. I really don't. Football coverage on 92.9 The Game is presented by Xfinity. Score the most reliable Wi-Fi, one price, 5 years guaranteed. Xfinity, imagine that. Again, pregame show today at 5 o'clock with Mike Johnson.
I heard it starts at 4:55.
Well, it might. Make sure you stay tuned. They're going to have you covered for this preseason game. All right, we're coming back. What is going on with these Braves? It feels like a World Series team, doesn't it? Chad Bishop from theAJC.com is going to join us next.
On Reddit, true crime doesn't come from journalists. It comes from the victims, the witnesses, and sometimes the suspects themselves.
Every Tuesday on Crimes of Reddit, we read these posts out loud.
I'm Sabrina Deanna Roga.
And I'm Alexis Linkletter. One of us brings the story, the other goes in blind, reacting in real time, just like you.
New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Crimes of Reddit, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
We're live at the Tour Championship. Another leaderboard update coming your way. Stay tuned for that as we get ready for the Falcons and Dolphins here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. That's going down in Miami, guys, by the way, and we'll talk more about what Kevin Stefanski had to say as they prepare for that matchup tonight. But right now, we got to talk some Braves with our buddy Chad Bishop, AJC.com. And, Chad, what a performance last night from Chris Sale. And I'm just curious, from your perspective, you know, we've been talking about our pitching staff, it feels like all season. Did we have enough? Do we have enough? We don't have enough. And then they make the move to go get Mally at the trade deadline. Are your concerns about this staff as a whole, have they lessened since the trade deadline?
I don't know if they've lessened. I think they're about the same, to be honest with you. I mean, I wasn't overly concerned, but I will say I still don't think it's, you know, the best pitching staff in the National League going in. I mean, if you compare it with the Brewers, if you compare it with the Dodgers, if you compare it with the Phillies. Now, that being said, I think, to me, the discussion should be more about, you know, the quality and quantity of the pitchers the Braves have overall. Adding Tyler Mahle was huge, but Didier Fuentes, Raisel Iglesias, the Dylan boys, Victor Medeiros, the way he's been pitching, some of these guys out of the bullpen are going to pay bigger factor than I think we're giving them credit for. And then if you add in A.J. Smith-Shawver and what Grant Holmes has been doing and what Martin Perez has done on the season, you know, they don't have to start a game and give you six. Maybe they come in after a starter is knocked out in the second, and maybe they bridge the gap to the bullpen. So I think collectively as a whole, I really like Atlanta's staff as a whole. So I'm not necessarily, you know, concerned with who's necessarily starting game one or two or three. I like the Braves as a whole and what arms are able to run out there no matter the situation, no matter what ending it might be.
Well, Chad, we were talking about, you know, Suarez coming back, Fuentes, tough mm-hmm. as heck. It's not the night shift, but it's close, right?
Yeah. Yeah, no doubt. I mean, night in and night out. And I know Dylan Lee has struggled a little bit of late, but he's basically been an all-star this season. And Raisel Iglesias has had some tough stretches. But, man, he's a consistent closer. Didier Fuentes is a star in the making. I mentioned Victor Medeiros. I think there's a reason they stuck with him and said their goodbyes to Tyler Kinley. I just think he's proven that he's worth, you know, some of his weight as well. So all these guys are chipping in. And then, you know, you added Brent Suter at the deadline, and that guy's eating innings, and he's pitching really well too. Yeah, man, there's a reason. I know it's frustrating, I think, sometimes for fans when a starter gets pulled after 5 1/3 or maybe 6 innings. But there's a reason, man. Walt Weiss knows how strong his bullpen is, and when he sees a win right there in front of him, he's going to go to his bullpen because he knows 9 nights out of 10, they're going to put up zeros and shut the other team down.
We are talking with Chad Bishop from the AJC, AJC.com, covers the Braves, guys. Braves sweep the Dodgers last night. They'll take on Colorado in a new series. What do you make of Ha-Seong Kim in this, I don't want to say return, but he's had two moments here over the last couple of nights where you feel, okay, a little bit better about Kim, because it doesn't feel like they're going to let him go at this point.
Yeah, he went from pariah to cult hero overnight, didn't he? I mean, it was been so fun to see. Like, he was getting ovations coming up to bat last night, stole a base. I mean, the crowd's going wild and happy for him, right? I mean, the guy is just could have easily pouted or asked to be traded or asked to be let go, and he's just continued to work. Chris Sale had a great line last night about how Ha-Seong Kim has just worn out that batting cage in the stadium trying to get back to where he was. Really a great example of stick-to-itiveness. He's getting to start at shortstop again tonight on a Friday night. Now, will he be the starting shortstop over the next, you know, 5-6 weeks? I don't think so. I think that's still Mauricio Dubon's job, truth be told. But, again, you know, if he can give some good at-bats, and Walt Weiss talked about unsung heroes in the playoffs, not saying Ha-Seong Kim will be that guy, but we were all remembering 21, right, what happened with that Braves team and those guys sort of stepping up out of nowhere and becoming heroes. That's what you need in the postseason. And you got Ha-Seong Kim, a veteran presence on that roster who can pinch hit, who can steal a base, who can maybe give you some defensive prowess at shortstop. Great option to have now, it seems like.
Talking baseball, guys, with Chad Bishop covering the Braves from the AJC. That's the thing about Kim. We were saying yesterday, we talked to Tony Gwynn Jr., who said he was very popular in the Padres clubhouse. Mm-hmm. Likeable guy. So I guess those guys were – that's why that reaction was almost like, yes, with the walk-off the other night. It's not like he was being ostracized. These guys were pulling for him.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you know, for someone like myself who's fortunate enough to be in that clubhouse every day at home and on the road – Ozzie Albies especially, man. Ha-Seong Kim and Ozzie Albies, you can tell, are good teammates. His locker is right next to Mauricio Dubon, even Doobie. on Thursday afternoon was teasing him about how nervous the dugout was during his game-winning at-bat. his translator, David Lee, who's with Ha-Sung Kim on his right shoulder all the time. I mean, the guys love him as well. He's basically a part of the team as well. So, yeah, man, it's not like this guy is pouting and sort of kept to himself. The entire clubhouse loves him and is rooting for him and is trying to pull him along through this thing. And I think they were probably more excited about that hit than Ha-Sung Kim was himself.
Chad, what's the weak spot on this team?
I still think probably offensively from a power perspective. We know what Drake can do. We know what Matt Olson can do. And of course, Michael Harris. But, you know, I still worry about Austin Riley's ability to come up with a big homer. Or, Michael Harris has gone a little bit cold. You know, Mike Krzyzewski really hasn't given you a ton in the power department. They brought in Lane Thomas to hopefully pick up those numbers a little bit, but I still don't look at him as a power hitter. And I know home runs aren't generally going to get it done in the postseason, right? But still the threat of one, I think there's something to be said for that, right? This team is certainly capable of what they call moving the line, 1-9, getting guys on base, moving them over, getting some big singles and some big doubles. But to me, when I look at the lineup, I'm thinking, well, who are these? I think of Philadelphia, right? You got Kyle Schwarber in the middle there and Shohei Ohtani on the Dodgers and William Contreras on the Brewers. And really, I would like to see the Braves have a little bit more power. Maybe they do that in September. Maybe they bring up a guy like Rowdy Tellez who can run into one and give you that power option off the bench. So I think I kind of look at that aspect of this team as I would like to see them have maybe some more heavy bats in that lineup.
Talking about baseball with the Bravos, and it's Chad Bishop. Now, here's the thing. We know that we've got to – you said you're not really concerned about how the rotation plays out. I definitely don't want to be in that best of three, Chad, because anything can happen there. We know that that's not going to maybe show the quality of your squad over 162. How important is it, though, to lock in – right now we're on the heels of the Dodgers, that two seed if not the one seed?
It's tricky, right, because we've seen in years past those teams with the byes, sometimes that can be a detriment. Shoot, I'm not even talking about baseball, right? This college football playoff.
Right. Playoffs, right? Oh, like, Bobby Cox is brave sometimes, too. You're right.
Yeah, right. I mean, sometimes that bye can backfire, especially if you get a bye and then all of a sudden you're facing, let's say, an Arizona Diamondback team or a San Diego Padres team who is hot all of a sudden. So I don't know. I think there's arguments to be made for both. I mean, I think, you definitely, to your point, you probably want to avoid that three-game series. It's just too short, and anything can happen. Even if Chris Sale starts game one, you know, what if it's like last night? I mean, as great as last night was, let's be honest, one swing away from that game being tied and maybe going to extras and then all heck breaking loose. So you just never know in that three-game series. So I sort of lean toward wanting that bye for these Braves to set up their rotation and set up a longer playoff series. But again, maybe you play early on, maybe you play that first series and you get a little bit hot and you go on a roll and you make your way to the World Series. So I'll tell you after the playoffs. How about that?
No, that's fair. Chad, do you buy what we've seen from Bryce Elder this season? Like, is this what we've been waiting for? Because he's been really consistent.
I am, yeah. And I think because of the consistency, and yeah, there's been some clunkers here and there, but honestly, what pitcher outside of a guy like Chris Sale or Hall of Fame pitchers don't have clunkers from time to time, or a Jacob Mizorowski? I mean, more often than not, he's been very good. And something I was talking with someone about is we forget that more often than not, Bryce Elder every fifth day is going to take the ball and he's going to give you 5-6 innings. I think about that start he had against the Mets at Truist Park where he gave up 7 runs. He went deep into that game and saved the bullpen. I know it's not much of a silver lining, but that's the type of things that Bryce Elder does for this team. And then there's other nights where he's really, really good. And now that he's sort of fought through this little bit of a knee issue that he had, yeah, man, I think he's had a really good season and should be commended for the way he's pitched. Is it Cy Young level? No, but he's a quality starter for this baseball team.
Chad, haven't had you on in a while, so talking big picture here, I know we're trying to win a pennant, maybe win a World Series. Mm-hmm. You going to re-sign Ozzy Albies?
I think they should. I would like to see the Braves re-sign Ozzy and Mauricio Dubon. I think you'd have your middle infield sort of solidified, right, for the near future. Right. Ozzy was an all-star this season. Has he played like an all-star the entire year? Maybe not. But, I mean, if Ozzy Albies goes away, you're going to have to go and try to find something that's maybe a little bit unknown. And he's meant so much to this franchise as he's moved up the career leaderboard list in so many categories. I talked to Matt Olson this year about Ozzy in the clubhouse and just how he's sort of that conduit between the Latin players who speak Spanish and the guys who speak English, how he's friends with everyone. Just sort of a staple of this modern era right now that we're in of Braves baseball. So, I mean, I would lean toward yes, that he needs to be re-signed and continue to be a part of this franchise.
And just as a follow-up, trying to talk about the big picture, what's Strider's role going to be moving forward?
Great question. Yeah, I don't know. And I don't even know if Spencer Strider knows or if the Braves even know because of the injuries that have occurred to him, because of where he is at right now, because of what he's trying to overcome. You never know, right? Like some guy, look at Chris Sale is a great example, right? A few years in Boston, a lot of folks thought he was probably done, and what are the Braves doing signing this guy? Not going to say that Spencer Strider turns out that way. It's just such an unknown right now.
Right.
So I think Spencer deserves the benefit of the doubt in determining what he wants to do, right? Like if he wants to be a starting pitcher for the rest of his life, then I think that's what, if he wants to do, the Braves need to give him that option, right? To like continue to stretch out, continue to build up, but maybe be a little bit more cautious than they've been. Not to say that they haven't been cautious, but maybe even play it a lot slower than it has been going. Because, again, I don't think Spencer should be forced into a role he doesn't want to do.
Another sweep coming here with the Rockies?
Hey, man, all sports are all the same, right? You play that big series against a big-time brand
right.
name and a big-time opponent, and you got the letdown coming up. This is the the FCS school on the schedule coming up, right? So
right.
The Braves got to be careful. Now, the good teams show up no matter what, no matter who they're playing. And the Braves have sort of feasted on some bad pitching most of the year outside of the Twins series recently.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, they should on paper, you know. But we know how baseball is coming off that big sweep of the Dodgers and a big win over the Brewers. And now you got the Rockies there, and it's football season on a Friday night. Truist probably not as rocking as it has been all week. They better be ready to play. I know that much because it's a prime opportunity for that letdown game.
Chad Bishop to Braves. Get your helmet on. All right, real quick, you just mentioned the Brewers. I don't sweat them because they've never shown the ability to win it, no matter if it's Greg Council or the present manager. Do you think the DNA is different on this year's Milwaukee?
It sure looks like it, man. Seeing them in person, I became a quick fan. I just love the at-bats they put together. I love the speed. I love the defense. I think they have great pitching. Yeah, I understand that in years past they haven't been able to get over that hump, but, man, they look like a really, really complete ball club with a lot of young talent and a lot of great athleticism. You know, I still lean the Dodgers as the team to beat, but it would definitely not surprise me if the Brewers win at all. I really like what they have on that roster. They were a lot of fun to watch up there in Milwaukee when we went up there last weekend. Really, really complete team. So I do think they have a much better chance probably than people are giving them.
I would agree. Chad, always a pleasure, man. Thank you for joining us. Have a great weekend. Check him out, AJC.com, covering the Braves. Appreciate you, bro.
All right, fellas, thanks.
Yeah, man, we're live at the Tour Championship. Guess who's one stroke off the lead? What's going on with
Scotty Scheffler?
We'll get you caught up coming up, but when we come back, we'll find out what is on Day-Day's mind here at the Tour Championship.
If he says anything about the WNBA, I'm going to punch him right in the stomach.
Well, let's find out. We're coming back. It's Dukes and Bell.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen, not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, line starts here.
It is Dukes and Bell. We're live at the Tour Championship, guys. We'll get you caught up on a leaderboard here in just a little bit. Also in the 4 o'clock hour, we will talk more about what Kirby had to say on the Steakhouse today in regards to getting his team ready for the season. The Dogs, Mike, we know college football is underway. Day-Day mentioned this, but tomorrow I think most people will dive in and be like, okay, it's back, because you got a couple of marquee games with some big
right.
teams, and then you know, we get into the following week leading into Labor Day, and it's on, man. I mean, we got Georgia Tech, Colorado,
right.
all these games, these kickoff games. So we'll talk more about that coming up at 4 o'clock. Mike's got some guy talk, but right now let's find out what's on Day-Day's mind. What's going on, Day-Day?
Hey, man, happy Friday. Happy high school Friday, too, from everybody that's out there. With that being said, sorry, I want to give a quick shout-out to Coach Jamie All of the North Atlanta football team. Got a chance to watch them yesterday. They took on Midtown. And when I was interviewing him afterwards, he was like, oh, yeah, man, I recognize the voice. My radio stays on 92.9 The Game. I listen to you guys all day, every day.
That man's a gentleman and a scholar.
He's got a drive. He drives basically from Buckhead to Henry County every day.
Wow. So he's a captive audience.
Yeah.
We got him stuck in the car, Carl.
I love it.
He's a P1.
Thank you, sir.
So just wanted to give him a shout
That's
out.
That's the first thing we always ask people, like, where do you live? Because we always try to judge. Do we have you in the car for more than 25 minutes?
Yeah. So, and he says he's
Which is good for us.
Yeah. He said he's pretty much giving up on, you know, not giving up, but doesn't really listen to music formats anymore. So he's pretty much locked in on us all day, every day. So, and with that being said, in regards to high school football, a lot of big matchups tonight, real quick, guys.
Okay.
Sandy Creek and Douglas County.
Big
That's one I'm watching because Sandy Creek just knocked off Grayson as well.
And the Patriots, let me tell you something. I know I got a bunch of Patriot parents who work out at my gym, Carl, in Tyrone, which is literally just a couple miles up the road. And they are primed, and they feel really good about this year's squad big time.
They look good. And so if they, Douglas County, obviously, you know, they've been making title runs at the state titles the last few years. Shout out to Coach Johnny White. But if Sandy Creek does get this one, I'm going to really be kind of watching them, paying attention to them. But Norcross, West Forsyth, Hebron Christian, Benedictine, Blessed Trinity, and Milton, that's a big one. And then Newton and Roswell.
And Milton's 0-1, right? They lost that first one, didn't they?
Milton, I think,
they
lost
lose?
Their – won their first one. I'll double check. I want to say they're 1-0.
Centennial. That's right.
So and then Newton and Roswell is another one a lot of people are going to be paying attention
now to. Roswell's got to bounce back, right? That's another team.
No, remember we saw Roswell beat Walton.
That's who it was. Walton.
Yeah,
is who I'm thinking
of. Walton.
I'm thinking
right.
of Walton.
Walton.
You're right. You're right.
Yeah. So those are some of the games. Just wanted to show some love on the high school side. All right, real quick, college. Two things with college. First, I had this earlier today. I know we didn't get a chance to get to it because we had a lot going on. And I said we knew it was coming. A Texas judge signed an order which prohibits the NCAA, the SEC, and Greg Sankey from stopping three players from returning, but specifically Jordan Hudson, who's on the Cowboys roster, Wesley, I think it's Bissathen.
These players are specifically named.
Yeah, they're on, yes. And then Omari Evans. These Wesley Bissathen, if I'm saying it right. If not, I apologize.
Doesn't matter. These guys are bums.
Omari Evans, they're both
bums.
They're both on the team.
You had your chance and you blew
it. So they're allowed to return.
And now you're going
to
mess up college football because you couldn't make it to a 53-man roster, Carl. Sorry.
No, you're fine. I'm fascinated, to be quite honest with you, because what you're telling me is – this is about to get real, right? Is Greg Sankey anybody named?
He's named.
Team?
The SEC Sankey is named as complainants or complainants. Lawyers will know. Whatever that phrase is called, they're on.
He has to appear in court September 3rd.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
So, and here's what's
Knew
interesting now. Remember we talked about the other day where the CFP committee was considering whether or not they would allow teams with any of these players
to play
in the playoffs.
That's right. That's right.
So now this is really going to get interesting.
Yes, because LSU could be
one of those teams.
Yes. Yeah.
I think LSU guys root against them like you rooted against Texas Tech for a while. They were having their court battles. Lane Kiffin, I'm just so over it. I want to see them fail because they've literally, Carl, they're not that the lines were that clear, but they're so far over. They blurred it beyond. You can't even understand which way is up in college football. And I'm just, I know that other schools have pulled stuff, but LSU now seems to be, in my mind at least, the ultimate villain in the landscape of college football.
But let me ask you this. Do you think this is coming from Kiffin or higher-ups?
Like the boosters,
like the governor.
The governor who's
major. I'm being serious.
Yeah, yeah,
it's true.
Well, and remember, we were wondering because in the initial vote with the SEC, all 16 schools voted.
Except LSU.
The initial warning message.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
But then on the what the penalties could be.
When they actually put some teeth behind it, that's when the chancellor abstained.
It makes you wonder, okay, maybe LSU was kind of saying, all right, let's just – we're going to kind of go over here because we got people that's working.
But to your point, though, the first vote gave the impression that somehow the adults at LSU felt this was wrong.
Right.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Maybe this isn't Kiffin. Maybe this is above him.
You guys talking about above you? There's a quote that's floating around right now from Senator John Kennedy today about Lane Kiffin. He can go and hit on Kristi Noem's husband in a dark cocktail lounge. We don't care as long as he wins. But he better win. That's the senator of Louisiana saying, we don't care if he wins. We don't care, but he better win.
Wow. So, soon to be former senator from Louisiana, so, by the way.
So to your point, Carl. This
he's letting it all hang out, Carl. He's got nothing to lose.
This thing is getting real, man. Yeah. So obviously we're going to probably be hearing more and more about this as this continues.
You know what? I'll just from a personal standpoint, as I'm talking about tomorrow, and I am intrigued. I want to see Bill Belichick get beat again.
Right.
You know, there are things that interest me. And we're going to have this in the background.
Yes.
And I said to you, once we get to the fall, guys, it'll be about the games because the games are what we care about. And here we are about to start these games, and this is going to be in the backdrop. And I hate that because I really don't even want to deal with this crap.
Right.
I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to deal with it. I want to just see games and play games and let the best teams advance. And, like, that's where I want to be for the next 3 to 4, 4, 4.5 months.
Yeah.
And, by the way, I checked that. Kennedy is going to be the senior senator. It was Bill Cassidy that lost his election in Louisiana.
All right, staying in the college world, what is up with the budget, ESPN? Because you charge me a whole lot of money for this plus. And I tried to watch some college football last night, and when I tell you the audio was terrible.
Oh.
So if the first game I watched, you hear the commentators, oh, my God, he's breaking through another touchdown. You don't hear the crowd.
Hmm.
Oh, they have the crowd mic'd up?
The crowd's not mic'd up. Oh.
Then well, I you know, well, hold on. Time out. We've seen this before. There was a game SMU played that West called.
Yep.
They didn't have the mics. They didn't spend the money to bring the extra mics.
Yeah.
So, in other words, there's microphones usually outside the press box, which pick up, or by the field, and it was the same thing. It sounded like when we called that high school game.
It sounded
that's what it
exactly
sounded like us for the first
like
15 minutes till we opened the doors, opened the windows.
Day-Day, it sounds to me like you're insinuating that ESPN needs more cuts. That's what it sounds like to me.
Yeah. On a budget, Joe. On a budget. You expect us to bring all
cuts.
The microphones?
They need to figure something out because then I go to the next game after that one goes off, and the you could tell they just had someone with one camera, and they might have had two cameras. I'm sorry, because when they tried to change the scenes, the whoever had the one camera wasn't quite paying attention, and
uh-oh.
It was just – I was just like, what? And then on top of that
– what was the game? What was the game?
Don't get me to lie.
See, that's why you had this –
oh, Arkansas – so what was it? Arkansas – because it was –
yeah, you had the E team. You had the D team. The F team.
It was the D, the E, the F, all those teams.
You know where
below.
The big money team is this weekend, Carl?
Where?
Tallahassee, Florida, from New Mexico State, Florida State. No, I have no idea. We'll have the same quality broadcast. Imagine down in Tally this
weekend. It was bad. Well, you guys are on.
Well,
this is
the last year of Week Zero, right?
Yeah.
Right, and then next year with this expanded playoff and everything, this is the last year.
They got you guys on CW. So
are you serious?
They got you guys on CW.
Oh my! I'm gonna be. It's my birthday weekend. I'm gonna be so blasted. I'll have to DVR on the CW, Carl.
I guess
I'm not even gonna know what the score is.
I guess I won't be watching that one.
Florida State. And are you serious?
Yes.
It's not even on ESPN2.
No, bro. I saw that last when I was putting the schedule together, the rundown together today.
Jeez.
And I was like, let me put some of the games that we want to pay attention to on here. And I was like, CW?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, man. They got you guys on the CW. So, real quick.
Supposed to be an exhibition.
Oh, man.
So Central Arkansas and UT Martin was one of the games I was watching. But speaking
you really have a low bar for entertainment.
I am trying.
I got to be honest. The bar is very low for watchable entertainment.
No,
for you.
It's college football. I'd rather see a meaningful game versus a preseason game.
Yes.
Speaking of in one of those meaningful games, and you guys got to forgive me, I get confused with all the levels, but what are the different levels?
FBS? What is that?
So one of the FCS schools lost to a
FCS lost
it used to be
FBS.
Division 1 and 1 right. 1 AA.
Yeah, but
now
they
it's
lost
FBS
to a lower
FBCS.
Division.
Okay.
It was like the first time that it had ever happened that someone lost to one of these. So I was trying to pay attention, Mike Bell. I was trying to get my I was getting my Abe Gordon on.
Yes, right.
Abe would be a little disappointed because I don't know the level of the program.
Well, Abe would have watched it on mute, so it doesn't matter. It wouldn't matter.
But speaking of this, remember we told you West Georgia was one of the games on last
night?
They do lose to Chattanooga. But
Son of a biscuit.
The bigger story was that head coach, Steve Englehart, he wasn't able to coach.
Yeah, well, about some kind of secondary compliance issue?
Compliance violation involving one of the players, it sounds like. Now, the school put out a statement. They say, like, they don't They don't. They're not believing that the coach has done anything like.
But to be safe, they kept him out. To be safe,
yeah.
Okay.
So keeping an eye on that. And then last
man,
thing
I come got, on, Wolves.
Last thing I got for you guys. You guys remember Boys in the Hood?
Of course.
How could you not?
Remember when Trey came, went over to.
When he's running in slow motion.
No. When he went to the girlfriend's house, Brandy's house.
Yes.
And he's so mad, and he's punching air and all that. What's the one thing, what's something that makes you want to punch air?
Well, it sounds like your coverage on ESPN Plus.
Well, that was one.
I want you to punch air.
But the other thing was the unexpected renewals. You know how you sign up for something?
Oh, and it pops up.
And it pops up out of nowhere.
And now you owe us $150.
Yeah.
I get here today, and all of a sudden I see, thank you for your payment of $69.99. For your McAfee renewal. I was like, what?
Oh, God. Yeah.
I put it on one of those plans where it's every other year.
That's what they want.
And I was like, son of a.
That's what they want.
And I was in here like Trey and Boys in the Hood.
Because you notice they always want to save you money with the renewal, but then they also have that fine line at the bottom that says, unless you cancel.
Right.
Right.
This will be renewed.
Now, by the way, try canceling and find that link.
Because you can't.
Because it's like, are you sure? Are you sure?
Oh.
Are you sure? Yes.
This Mike. One today was like.
Final offer.
This one,
sure.
This one was like, we'll give you 15% off. We'll give you 20% off. We'll give you 25% off. I'm like, no, I don't want no percent.
But
I want
wait a
my
minute.
Money back.
Where was this percentage off
when I signed up.
First place?
Right.
Right? You don't get that. Mike, I called, I want to say it was the Dallas Morning News. For years, I got all these digital papers.
Right.
Because I'd read all of them. And. I think it was maybe the Dallas Morning News, one of those Dallas papers.
Mm-hmm.
And I called, and the lady's like, "Sure, hold on, I let me look up your account. Can I put you on hold?" Sure. I call back.
You gotta be kidding me!
Hey,
well, she's probably gonna know if she doesn't convert you, she probably loses a piece of the action.
So I'm starting to believe this. So I call back, and the lady's like, "Hey, sure, I can help you with that. Let me look up your account." I said, "Don't put me on hold." The lady just hung up on me. She said, "So, sir, I just need to put you on hold." Two separate ladies. So now I'm hot.
Right.
I called back the third time.
They're making money on the percentage. If they can't convert you and keep you in the fold, they're going to. Yeah.
I called, the dude picks up, and this is the third time I'm like, right. Hey, look, I got my account number right here. I want to cancel. I've gotten hung up on twice. He goes, "What's your account number?" I gave him my account number. He goes, "Yeah, hold on. Let me see what I can do for that." I was like, "Are you?" I stopped calling. So to Day-Day's point, you're like, "Screw it, just take the money. Just take the money."
No, but
so
I'm with you. Thank you, brother. By the way, Day-Day, in a controversial poll question right now, Carl, still up. Is this still up or is this final? Final results. Yesterday, you threw it out there. We never gave the final results before the end of the show.
Oh yeah.
Asking about, do you feel it's no big deal? He said, "Hey man, what are your thoughts on Michael Penix Jr. saying he's not ready to play on Friday?" We had a big passionate conversation about that. I've now become a big devil about this on social media, Carl.
I'm glad you've come over.
And Randy was mad that you somehow brainwashed me into coming into
come
this,
on over here
into this line of thought. Anyway, the question is, Mike saying he's not ready to play on Friday, did that bother you? 46.8% disappointed, 53.2% said no big deal.
So relatively close.
It's a lot of people who are disappointed, like me.
Yeah,
it's a lot of people. That's not 3%.
Yeah,
because I think half of our audience understands what we're talking about.
Yeah. Correct.
Oh, you people.
What do you mean, you people?
I mean, Dukes and Bell listeners and 92.9 The Game listeners and Falcon fans. Hey, man.
By the way, use unconscious bias in a sense on social media. Watch the fur fly.
We're coming back. We're live at the Tour Championship. We love you all. And we can have discourse.
Yes.
Because we're family.
We just want to win, and we want to see Michael out there. That's what the frustration is born from. We want to see our guy establish himself as the man one way or the other. Either he's the man or he ain't.
How long is that going to take, by the way?
Well, apparently not week one.
All right. We're coming back, guys. Kirby Smart. What did he have to say today about camp, where they're at, how different camp is now compared to what it used to be, and how much does Kirby want great players? Stay there. It's Dukes and Bell.
Are you looking for a podcast about pro football that doesn't put you to sleep with an avalanche of analytics or insult your fandom with brainless hot takes? Well, hi. I'm Dan Hanzus.
And I'm Mark Sessler.
Oh, hi, Mark. And we're the hosts of Heed the Call, the NFL podcast you've been waiting your whole life for.
Heed the Call covers every game, every storyline, everything that matters, and we do it all with a touch of mirth.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast wherever you get your podcasts.